Welcome to Torah Deimecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we are studying Yechezkel, Perek Yud Beis, Chapter 12. In this Perek, Yechezkel is told to do strange symbolic actions reminiscent of his behavior in earlier Prakim, where he lies on his side or destroys his hair. He is told to do something dramatic as the people are still not listening. He is first told to act like a refugee, packing his belongings and escaping through a hole in the wall. The hope is that this jarring behavior will rattle a population who were themselves recently refugees and who would have had emotional responses to seeing their recent history played out. The parak continues with the meaning behind Yechezkel's acting like a refugee, which connects each of his symbolic acts to what will happen to Tzidkiyahu at the end of the siege. Next in the parak, there is another prophecy where Yechezkel is told to eat his food chaotically, and we then hear the explanation of those actions. Finally, the parak concludes with a third nevuah directed at the false prophets who deny that the visions of the true Nevi'im are valid and will ever happen. In general, people doubt the validity and imminence of all prophecy. In particular, that generation also doubts the timing and legitimacy of Yechezkel's nevuos. These concluding words serve as a prelude for the next parak, which addresses these false prophets, leaders, and soothsayers directly. Because the people are influenced by their leadership to doubt Yechezkel, he is forced, in parak after parak, to try to capture their attention with symbolism rather than words. The parak begins, Ben Adam, Besoch Beis Hamariat HaYoshev, Son of Man, you dwell amid the rebellious house. The people he is talking to are not the same people who came to gain his counsel in the last parak. These are the people who were brought into Galus with Yehoyachin with Yechezkel, yet they have not learned from the experience. They are called rebellious, not foolish. They have eyes, but they choose not to notice what is happening. They have ears, but choose not to pay attention to the words of the Navi. Instead, they act with disregard for what will happen. As a result, more dramatic action is needed. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, Yechezkel is commanded to take the belongings of a refugee. According to Rashi Mitzvahs David, these are a light, a bag, a dish, a mat, and pack them up during the daytime in full view of his neighbors. Aseh lecha klei gola ugle yomam le'eneihem. Prepare your stuff for exile and move as though for exile by day in their sights. V'galisa mimkomcha al makom acher le'enehem. And you should exile yourself from your place to a different place in front of them. Ula yiru, maybe they will see. Ki beitz me'ri hema, because they are a rebellious house. Yechezkel uses the words le'enehem to their eyes 6 times in the next few psukim and also references sight a number of times. In Pasuk Beis, it said the Jews in exile have eyes, but they can't see. The hope is that these actions will change them. They will be so shaken up that they will listen to Yechezkel's Musar and begin to not only see physically, but believe emotionally and intellectually what is happening to them and to Yerushalayim. After packing his belongings, Yechezkel is told to move to another home, either in the same city or, according to others, to a different city. This preparation was meant to be like the preparation of Noach building the Teva. It was done during the day, publicly, so people would feel compelled by curiosity to ask Yechezkel what he is doing. The packing and moving would remind the people of their own recent exile, which would hopefully arouse them to realize that they were being rebellious, and they would start taking Yechezkel's words to heart. Unfortunately, this was not the case. Here, Yechezkel tried to warn the Jews to prepare for exile, and that message was directed to the local people, as well as to those in Yerushalayim. While the main point of this nevuah was a spiritual message, it was also meant to be heard from a practical standpoint. People going into exile need supplies to ease the hardships of travel. Yechezkel was giving them a packing list. He told them to take a light, take a mat, and no one bothered to buy anything on that list. Because they were unprepared when the exile came, they didn't have the supplies needed to travel comfortably from Yerushalayim to Bavel. Rashi, quoting Echa Rabbah, tells us that as the Jews were on their way to exile, they had no utensils, they had no plates, so they had nowhere to knead their bread. They dug holes in the ground to knead their dough, and gravel got mixed in and broke their teeth. In the next few psukim, beginning in Pasuk Dalet, verse 4, we hear about Yechezkel's next stage in his prophetic exile. From his new location and in front of his neighbors, Yechezkel is told to take out all his supplies during the day, packing like one who will not return, and then leave at night as if he is embarking on exile. He is not supposed to leave the home through the door. Rather, he should dig a hole through the wall, and again in front of his neighbors, first put his supplies through the hole and then climb through it himself, as if he is escaping from a dangerous spot through a hidden escape route. There was to be no light, not even a candle, and he would cover his face with a mask so he cannot be seen. Indeed, in Pasuk Zion, verse 7, this is what Yechezkel did. During the day, he packs up his traveling supplies, and at night, he digs in the wall in the darkness. He digs with his hands, like someone who's trying not to make any noise, and then he carries his supplies out in a public display. He acts out all the steps of a refugee fleeing. The next morning, Hashem explains what is a nimshal, the explanation for these symbolic actions after giving the Jews in exile a night to ponder and sit uncomfortably with what they had just seen. Each of these actions corresponds to what will happen to Tzidkiyahu, the final king of Yehuda, which will be explained in the next set of psukim, which begins with Pasuk Ches, verse 8. In Yirmiyahu and in Melachim, it tells the story of Tzidkiyahu in his final days. The Midrash and Eicha fills in even more details. Tzidkiyahu, king of Yehuda, and his entourage realized that the Babylonians were closing in on them. They had dug a tunnel from the king's garden to outside the city, to the plains of Yericho. The Midrash tells us that as the group made its way out of the tunnel in the dark, Hashem sent a deer to pass by the entrance. This attracted the attention of the Babylonian soldiers who caught Tzidkiyahu. His group was taken to Riblah, where Tzidkiyahu saw his sons put to death. He was blinded and then led in chains to Bavel, where he died as a prisoner. Beginning in Pasuk Yod, verse 10, Yechezkel explains his symbolic actions. Hanasi hamasa hazeh b'Yerushalayim. This burden, this nevuah topic being carried out, is concerning the prince in Yerushalayim. V'chol beis Yisrael asher hema b'sochem, and all the house of Israel among whom they are, which means the rest of the parable relates to everyone in the whole land of Israel. Yechezkel continues. Emor, ani mofeschem. Say, I am your sign. Kasher asisi ken yeselahem. Bagola bashvi yalechu. Just as I have done, so will be done to them. They shall go into exile, into captivity they will go. In Pasuk Yud Beis, Yechezkel continues explaining the Nimshala parallel. Vanasi asher besocham el kasef yisa ba'alata v'yetze. The prince who is in their midst will carry on his shoulders in the darkness and go out. Who is this prince and what will he carry? He is Tzidkiyahu, and he, not his servants, are carrying his meager belongings as he escapes. Bakir yachteru lahotzivo. They will dig in the wall to go out. To escape Yerushalayim, Tzidkiyahu and his soldiers will dig a secret passage. Panav yechaseh, he shall cover his face, so that he doesn't see the ground with his eyes. Rashi explains that he covered his face in embarrassment because of how low he had sunk to abandon his people like a thief in the middle of the night. But those Tzidkiyahu will try to escape, Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13 tells us that Hashem spreads a net upon him and he will be taken into his snare. The Medrash interprets this pasuk as referring to the fact that Hashem sent a deer to the exit of the tunnel so that the soldiers hunting game would stumble upon it and capture him. Ve'vesi oso babala eretz kasdim, and I will bring him to the Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans. Voso lo yireh v'sham yamus, but he won't see the land because he will have been blinded and he will die there. In the next psukim, we hear about Tzidkiyahu's officers and aides. Some of them are going to die after they try to escape to Egypt, and they are captured. But we also hear that Hashem leaves over a few individuals so that they can tell over their abominations. These witnesses will recount their stories so that others may learn that Hashem pays back for the good and the bad. The Perek now shifts to another symbolic gesture. Perek Yud Ches, verse 18. Ben Adam, lachmecha berash tochel, umemecha beragza ubda'aga tishteh. Son of man, eat your bread with shaking and drink your water with trembling and with anxiety. Yechezkel was to eat and drink like one who is anxious and whose body physically shakes from fear. He is told to tell Bnei Israel that this stands for the anxiety and stress that will be in Yerushalayim because they deserve punishment for their acts of chamas injustice. Because of this chamas, the Malbim explains that Hashem will put in the hearts of the inhabitants the crazy idea to fight Nebuchadnezzar. They will lose everything, and the whole land will become a wasteland, so that they can learn V'yadatem ki ani Hashem. They will know that I am Hashem, to believe in Him and His divine oversight, and that there are rewards and punishments in this world. The parak now shifts for the last eight psukim. Until now, Yechezkel has been trying to arouse the people. Now he is starting a debate with those stopping the nation from listening to his message, the Nevi'ei Sheker, the false prophets. It was an uncertain time, so people were inclined to listen to those who would let them escape their worries and tell them everything they wanted to hear. The charismatic leaders were more attractive than the thoughtful, pragmatic guides. The Nevi'ei Sheker had pithy, cynical sayings to undermine Yechezkel's emotional and dramatic messages. They were like ancient memes that formed the national culture. Pasuk Chaf Beis, verse 22. Ben Adam, ma ha-mashal hazeh lachem al admas Yisrael lemor? Hashem asks, what is this mocking saying that they are sharing in the land of Israel? The saying is, Ya'archu hayamim va'avad kol chazon. The days are long and every nevuah will be lost. The meaning of this phrase is that negative prophecies haven't come true yet and won't come true anytime soon. They will be forgotten with the passage of time. Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Hishbati es hamashal hazeh, v'lo yimshlu oso od b'Yisrael. I will put an end to this proverb, and they will no longer express it in Israel. What is about to happen will make this phrase seem ridiculous. Rather, the phrase that will be on their lips will be the opposite. Karvu hayamim udvar kol chason. The days are coming close, and the word of every vision from Hashem will actually take place. Pasuk Chaf Dalet, verse 24. What will end is not the chazon of the Nevi'im, the vision of the prophets, but the chazon shav, the futile visions of the Nevi'i Shekar that may be positive, but will prove to be worthless, and the smooth talking of the sorcerers who make everyone feel good, but don't help anyone in reality. As the events of history unfold, it will become clear who is speaking the truth and whose guidance was valuable. Pasuk Chaf Hei, verse 25, Ki ani Hashem, adaber es asher adaber davar v'yaseh, because I am Hashem, Hashem who exists outside of time and space and who knows all. When Hashem speaks, it will happen. For the last three psukim of the Perek, Hashem tells the Navi that the general cynicism of the people toward Nevuah applies to how they view his Nevuos as well. The community says that Yechezkel's prophecy won't happen for a very long time. Hashem now tells them that there will be no more delays in carrying out Hashem's words. That which Hashem has said will now come true. In this perek, we learn two symbolic acts followed by two messages about Nevuah. The first symbolic act involved Yechezkel acting out the exiled Tzidkiyahu, king of Yehuda. The second symbolic act was a sign of how the nation would feel while they ate during this uncertain time. The perek ends with a rebuke of the nation for generally ignoring the true prophets of Hashem and then for ignoring Yechezkel in particular. This final message will lead Yechezkel into talking to these fake spiritual leaders in the next perek. Thank you for studying together the Iloi Nishmas Malka Esther Basvi Yosef.